Thank you, Gwendolyn. That was beautiful. And thank you, Jenna.
Yes.
It seems to me that the violin contributes to a sense of the sacred. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very much appreciated. Thank you. A lady by the name of Tara Wood contributed to today.com last month. She told a story of her four-year-old daughter. The day before her daughter's fourth birthday, on their way home from daycare, her daughter announced that I like old people. Old people walks slow like I walks. Old people has soft skin like I have soft skin. And old people is gonna die pretty soon, and I just wanna love them all up. And that seems so profound for a four-year-old, and her mother was almost shocked by it. And her mother, Tara Wood, is an avid Facebooker, so she went home that night and she posted on Facebook what her daughter had said that day. The next day, being her fourth birthday, little Nora was all excited, and on her way home from daycare, she announced to her mom that she would like to stop at the grocery store and get cupcakes for her six brothers and sisters. She's one of seven. And mom could, you know, who could refuse the birthday girl? So she stopped. And they picked up the cupcakes in the bakery department, and they were headed to checkout. And mom saw the closeout aisle. And being a mother of seven, you pay a lot of attention to the closeout aisle. So she started looking at that, and then she heard behind her, Nora, in the cart, standing up and said, "Hey, old person, today's my birthday." And this elderly gentleman came up and talked with little Nora for a minute, and they exchanged pleasantries. And so Tara went up to him and said, "I'm sorry, my daughter." He said, "Oh, no, that was fine." And they parted their ways. And little Nora said, "Mommy, I'd like to get my picture with that old person." And mom says, "Yeah, okay, if we see him again, I'll ask. But, you know, this is a big store, and he's headed out. And no promises." Well, the universe. You know how you go up and down the aisles of a grocery, you keep running into the same people. They came around the corner, and there he was. So she went up and she said, "Pardon me, but this is my daughter, Nora, and she would really, really like to have a picture of the two of you together for her birthday." And the look on this gentleman's face started out as confusion, and then it was almost, surprise, and then finally it was joy. And he said, "Sure, I'd like to." And so they got together, and mom got out her iPhone, and she took a picture of the two of them. And little Nora had the gentleman's hand, and she put her hand on it, and then she picked up his hand and kissed it and put it to her cheek. They were blocking the grocery store aisles, and people were stacking up behind them, but nobody seemed to mind, because there was something magical going on in that grocery store aisle. She asked the gentleman, you know, what his name was, and he said, "Well, you can call me Dan." And little Nora called him Mr. Dan. After a few minutes, I thanked Mr. Dan for spending a bit of his day with us. He teared up and said, "No, thank you. "This has been the best day I've had in a long time." And he turned to my daughter and he said, "You've made me so happy, Miss Nora." They hugged and we walked away. Nora watched him until he was out of view. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't a weepy mess after that encounter. She went home, and after all the kids were in bed, she got on the internet and she got on Facebook and she told of that encounter, and she posted the picture of the two of them together, Mr. Dan and little Nora. The next day she got a personal message on Facebook from one of her friends and said, "I know that man, his name is Dan, and his wife of over 60 years passed away a few months ago, and he's really been lonely since, and I think that your daughter really did something wonderful because you brightened up Dan's day." This story is certainly a touching story of a young girl, a four-year-old girl. But it's also a touching story about a gentleman that was facing a very difficult time in his life and how he reacted to that and what he did. Our theme for the month of March has been spiritual growth, and we've focused on things like education, transformation. And I submit that each and every one of us is a work in progress. And it doesn't make any difference if we're 23 or if we're 83. Each one of us is that continual work in progress. We never stop learning and growing. I am the face of God at any age. The title of my talk today is Creative Aging, and I have three major points. First, I'm going to talk about race consciousness. Secondly, I'm going to talk about we are continually and continuously learning and improving. And thirdly, that we can become models to change our race consciousness by examining our beliefs and attitudes. First major point, race consciousness. What do I mean by race consciousness? Race consciousness has nothing to do with ethnicity. I'm talking about human race, the human race consciousness, and how that we can adapt certain beliefs as a society, as a group of people. An example of race consciousness within the United States today, is there such a thing as flu season? Everybody knows there's flu season. But it's something that we hold in our mind. Medicine has nothing to prove that you get more colds or more flu in the winter, but we have flu season. It's part of our race consciousness. Well, race consciousness holds that as we age, we decrease in mental and physical acuity, and this is simply not so. The new paradigm that we gain awareness that our thoughts and feelings pave the way for our experiences. You know, we say around here, change your thinking, change your life. We can choose to age creatively and with greater expression. Ernest Holmes wrote, this is out of his book, Help for Today, "Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. Years may wrinkle the skin, but to give up interest wrinkles the soul. Worry, doubt, self-distrust, fear, and despair, these are the long, long years that bow the head and turn the growing spirit back to dust. Whatever your years, there is in every being's heart the love of wonder, the undaunted challenge of events, the unfailing childlike appetite for what is next, and the joy and the game of life. You are as young as your faith, and as old as your fear, as young as your hope, and as old as your despair. In the central place of every heart, there is a recording chamber. So long as it receives messages of beauty, cheer, and courage, so long as you are young." Point number two, we are continually and continuously learning and improving. A guy by the name of Joe Morris in Illinois retired a few years ago. He'd spent 30 years with one company working hard, and he had looked forward to his retirement. He had projects that he wanted to do. He had some home improvement projects he wanted to do. There was a manufacturing plant not too far from his house, and he had a vision of going to work part-time at that manufacturing plant. Thought that might be a good source of retirement income. He had an old Harley Davidson, and he wanted to restore that. He had a lot of plans for his retirement years, and he was looking forward to that time. He had a great idea that he and his wife could start spending a lot more time together, and that would really be fulfilling for him. Well, 30 years with the company came, and that was the day that he got fully vested and had a full pension for the rest of his life, and out the door he went. Well, it didn't turn out quite like he had hoped. The missus, she was still working. She's a writer, and she wrote from home, and she couldn't be bothered most of the days for the things that he wanted to do. He kind of lost interest in some of the home improvement projects. They kind of went on the back burner, and the Harley Davidson still sat in the garage collecting dust. And the manufacturing plant ran into a rough spell, and they were laying off people instead of hiring. Well, he did find that there was an opening at the municipal airport, a little local county airport, and they had a need for a maintenance guy, a part-time maintenance guy, and he thought maybe that was something he could do, so he went down and applied, and he was hired. His job was to, you know, pump gas, mow the lawn, mop the floor, push a broom was about it. One day he was in mopping the hangar floor, and one of the flight instructors came by, Barb, and she had a student, and he thought of what it would be like to actually fly. And at that moment, she turned around and said, "Hey, Joe, would you like to come up with us?" And he, "Me? Yeah, you can come up with us. You can finish mopping later. Why don't you come up and fly with us?" And he got in Cessna 172, and they took off, and it was thrilling. He had never had anything like that. He always loved speed. He liked going fast cars. But this was completely different. He fell in love with flying on that first visit. They got down, and they started to walk back to the office. And Barb stopped, and she said, "Well, Joe, would you like to take lessons?" And before he could even think, he didn't even know how it happened, it came blopping out of his mouth. He said, "Yes, I'd love to." And so they negotiated a deal with the airport that he would do some extra hours and make up for the cost of the flight lessons. So the day came, and he went up on his first flight, and oh, he was a wreck, you know, all the things to remember and honor. But he did his first practice, and he learned, and he felt bad, though, because younger people that started way after he did were already getting their certificates, and they got their solos, and they were all far advanced to what he was doing. So he felt bad that he was being so slow. But one day he'd finished his run with Barb, the instructor, and she said, "Taxi over here and stop." Well, so he taxied over, he was told. She opened the door and got out. He said, "What are you doing?" She said, "You're ready. You're on your own." And so he did his solo. And he was so proud when he came down. He walked back into the office, and you'd thought he was a famous aviator. But the weather conspired, scheduling, you know, various things altered, and he wasn't able to get back up again for a couple of months. And when he went back up, he seemed to have lost everything that he'd learned. He couldn't seem to get the landing down. He'd either come down too slow, he'd come down too fast. he just couldn't seem to get it right. And Barbara worked with him over and over, and he just really had a difficult time with it. In fact, he quit. And Barbara said, "No way, you're not quitting, we're going again." She told him, "Visualize the landing. See it in your brain. You're overthinking it. You're working too hard at it. Let it come naturally. Just visualize it. Let it go." And on about the fifth time around that day, he came in and it was a perfect landing. And then he knew that he could do it. He knew that he wasn't ready to be a pilot yet, but he knew that it was possible and he could do it. Well, Joe finally persevered, and Barb stayed with him, and he eventually went on. He passed his night flying, he passed the written test, he passed the oral test, and he got his license. This is what Joe Morris wrote. "For the past year and a half, I've been a licensed pilot. I still work at the airport. That part hasn't changed. What has changed is me. Monica and I are enjoying life together. I'm relaxed, happy. I see a world filled with possibilities of one day teaching flying lessons myself, of owning my own plane. My best years, they are still definitely on the horizon." Oh, I neglected to mention, Barb, the flight instructor, she's 87. We are continuously learning and improving. Third point, we can become models to change this race consciousness by examining our beliefs and attitudes. When I was a young man, my dad always taught me, anything that's worth doing is worth doing well. Boy, you had to do it well. You're do it right. And I think Dad had that one wrong. You know, I think anything that's worth doing is worth doing badly. We live in a world where we think that we have to do everything right. Well, the way we learn is by starting out sometimes by doing it badly. And yet we're so held that we have to do everything perfectly that we don't even give it a try sometimes. And so we've got our four P's of affirmations. Well, I've got the three P's of doing things badly. That's perfectionism, procrastination, and paralysis. Perfectionism. We think we have to be perfect. And many times we don't. Procrastination, it's really easy to put that off until, oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow forever creeps. And paralysis, we just get paralyzed by the thought of doing this. I wrote on here that some of us have spent a large part of our lives waiting for the past to change. And I thought back to Esther's workshop back last week and the forgiveness piece that I was working on, and I realized I've been waiting for over 50 years for my past to change. It ain't gonna change. We avoid taking risks. We avoid doing something badly. What I would like everyone to take away today, the conclusion. Let's choose to reframe our advancing years and come to the realization that wisdom, understanding, and insight are valuable gifts of our past experiences. And as we cultivate our appreciation for these gifts and claim them as a beautiful fodder for continued experience of generative and wise living, we add to the creative expression of our own lives and add to the cumulative wisdom of our planet. Spiritual eldering in conscious ways can add to one's personal truth and meaning of life, to affecting intergenerational healing, and to sharing one's wisdom and mentorship with our earthly companions. Intergenerational healing. I go back to Mr. Dan and Nora. Tara Woods goes on to write. After she posted that on Facebook and she found out who Dan was, she got his number and she called him, and he invited her and Nora over. And they came, and he had a little table set up with paper on it and crayons, and he invited her to draw some pictures for his refrigerator, which she eagerly accepted the assignment and started drawing. They were only going to be there a while, and they stayed for over 3 hours. As they left, they went out, and next to Dan's porch was a rose bush, and it had one blooming rose on it, and he took out a pocket knife and he cut the rose, and he spent 10 minutes stripping off every thorn, and he gave that rose to little Nora. And it's as hard as a brick today, but it is in a Ziploc bag underneath her pillow. And she thinks of Mr. Dan every day. Nora asks about Mr. Dan every day. She worries about him. She wonders if he's lonely or cold or has cheese for his sandwiches. She wants him to be okay. She wants him to feel loved. Well, Mr. Dan thinks about Nora, too. After another recent visit, he relayed that he hadn't had an uninterrupted night's sleep since his wife died. He told me that he had slept soundly every night ever since meeting my girl. Nora has healed me. We all have the capacity for change within us. We are all constantly growing and evolving and changing. Remember, you are the face of God at any age.